Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Natasha Trenev is with me today, and we are talking about getting our bodies more balanced from the inside out. We're trying to dispel the myth that everybody's guts are the same on the inside, and every way of attacking the bad, unhealthy part of our lives are the same for every single person that's out there. But it's not true. We have to erase that philosophy of the one size fits all. We're talking today about, you know, the myths that are associated with different diets and different ways of eating. And I think having Natasha talk about these different kinds of myths is going to be really, really important, because it might just give you a little bit more information. So when you decide to change and start your path, you're going to be headed in a healthier direction. You know, Natasha, there's so much information out there, and I hate to say, with information at the speed of light, you know, we sometimes want to hear certain things, and those are the things we look for, and sometimes the true-to-form information falls on deaf ears.
Absolutely. I want to go back 45 years in our industry and talk about the diet and the use of friendly bacteria, products which we called acidophilus until I introduced the word probiotic in the early 1980s. And understand, you know, what these, you know, revolutionary diets have led to our country's better or ill health. Now, there seems to be a thread. Let's talk about diet. And so I want to repeat again. There seems to be a thread of the non-carbohydrate, low-sugar or low-carbohydrate diet. And this seems to be pervasive, starting out, as I said, in the 1980s and 1990s with the anti-candida diet, popularized nationwide by Dr. Crook, and then, you know, taken into the late 90s and 2000s by Dr. Mark Hyman, who published three books, not talking about anti-candida diet, but talking about low-carbohydrate diet, and of course, the king of the low-carbohydrate diet, Dr. Atkins, where he lets you eat a lot of fat and basically told you no carbohydrates. And then we have people like Dr. Amen and Perlmutter talking about brain health and encouraging the consumption of healthy fats and, again, low carbs, no processed food. And then we come to the newest book, which was just published by a Dr. Emeryn Mayer called The Mind-Gut Connection. And he elegantly ties in the diet and, you know, the health of our gut and how it's connected to every aspect of our well-being, including our, you know, mental faculties of depression, anxiety, even psychosis in many areas are related to the gut. So I think we have to evaluate what persistent message we've been getting about our diet, which seems to be to control the processed food and the simple carbohydrate and to eat a more natural diet. And I think I want to add my own perspective here, that there has been elements in the health food industry promoting the so-called raw diet, the use of raw in everything raw in it. And I think that's really misleading. And I think people have to examine the word raw and what it really means in the use of dietary habits. For instance, you know, generations have gone by that have known that you have to cook food, or you have to stir fry food, or you have to make sure that food, you know, is handled in a way that the microbes that persist in our environment from our soil, whether it be natural organic food or whether it be store-bought food, are there, and that those microbes are ingested by us every time we take food, we breathe air, or we drink liquid. And I think it's this basic fundamental knowledge that is lacking in our society, and we have to just stop listening to the latest fad and really have a sense of how we're going to change our diet, how we're going to change our probiotic consumption, and how we're going to change our exercise. In other words, one of the big no-nos is go on a fad diet, become an overnight, you know, cross-country cyclist, and start taking any supplement off the shelf in a health food store and expect that you're going to gain good health. That's definitely not the example we want to promote here today. And I'm being a little bit facetious, so a little bit tongue-in-cheek. So we have to go back to basics. We have to go back and understand how these probiotic supplements can be used to impact this microbiota, which we now know sends information to our upper brain and sends more information, like 90% of the information coming from our, you know, enteric nervous system through the vagus nerve to the upper brain is carried, you know, upwards. And only 10% from the upper brain comes down to our digestive tract. So we have to start paying attention and not listening to what I call cute articles that appear somewhere and give us little sound bites of information concerning this extremely complex and important issue for us to understand.
So basically, the communication between our gut brain and our cranium brain is not only important, but it's crucial for the workings of the body. So does everybody have the same amount of communication going on, but just different material being transported back and forth?
You know, we don't know exactly, but we know, for instance, and I'm going to quote, there was an article that started this whole thinking in the New England Journal of Medicine that was published by a team called Roth and Leroy. And they summarized their findings that the molecules that are signaling our endocrine system and brain use communication system originates with the microbes producing these biochemical agents that facilitate that communication. And this was, you know, revolutionary finding that really has taken a long time to reach what I call mainstream medicine and now is being looked at and understood. So basically, to summarize, the microbes can create chemicals that interfere with, let's say, insulin production or insulin resistance or the communication of our neurons and the information it sends to our upper brain, which controls our appetite control, which controls our mood, such as depression and anxiety. So we know that the composition of these microbes can have a profound effect on how our upper brain functions. And as a matter of fact, if you look at autistic children and children who have attention deficit disorder, we know that they have a problem with their digestive tract, some more severe than others, and possibly some that are not reporting the digestive tract upset. So we know that there is a connection. The problem is that listening to what I call flash solutions are not going to solve our problem because this is very complex. This is probably like the most bizarre science fiction flick you can ever imagine in your mind of what's going on in our gut, you know, every second of the day that our body is functioning.
You know, this is amazing that there's so many different ideas that have to do directly and principles and philosophies that have to do with our gut. And I know I'm out here all the time, as you are, we're talking with people all the time, and the first idea in their mind really is not the health of their gut. We usually get swallowed up into the ramifications of a health problem and the symptoms that end up annoying us from top to bottom. So we really don't even think that there could be any relationship to our ill health or our inflammatory response or how the inner workings of our body are doing on a daily basis in relationship to our gut. I know this has been around a long time, and I know you've been talking about it for over 40 years, but it seems to be a new principle for the people that are trying to tune in.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to quote Dr. Mayer again. And, you know, they were talking about the language in the context of human communication. So they gave a title to the language that the microbes use to communicate with our cellular structure, and they call it our gut peptides, the words of a universal biological language. And that article was published in the American Journal of Physiology in 1991. And so, you know, when they first looked at the manuscript, they were worried what their peers were going to think because it was such a revolutionary concept that, you know, peptides, of course, are small molecular structures of protein, which, you know, are known as sometimes as antimicrobial agents or communication molecules between the various systems in our body, including the hormone, the endocrine, the epithelial cells, the neurons that are just buried beneath our gut lining. So this is very important. I don't want to get too technical here, but, you know, it's important for us to understand that there is significant science now showing the importance of what you consume, that, you know, the gut is extremely an intelligent, you know, conglomeration of systems, and that, you know the minute you swallow your food, what the composition of that food is and whether or not it should transit slowly or quickly through our gut, how much absorption it will allow. And if there is a, what I call a fire alarm, if the food that you ingest has toxic producing bacteria, you know, it facilitates the absorption of water from our body so it can flush out the organisms either through diarrhea or forcing the body to vomit it out. It's a really incredible system. And what it happens to us and how we abuse that system really has to stop, because that's how we're going to change the health of our nation, not only, you know, mentally, but physically as well.
You really have to wonder, and maybe it's not even a wonder, you know, how we have declined in our health in this country, and we point our finger at so many different things, and many of these are the culprits, you know, the diet and pollution and bacteria and chemicals and preservatives and processed food and stress and lack of sleep and all these issues. But I don't understand how so many times the health of our guts just doesn't make it to the very top of the list in the articles and the mindset. We're seeing a lot of them now, but getting all those articles into the hands and the mind of the public so they can think to themselves, you know, I need to really think about my gut health. I need to think about the health of my gut because it is related to these other things that I'm going through now, and a retraining of the minds, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I mean, I can't quote to you enough. I mean, these concepts are so revolutionary that, you know, they even talk about, you know, people taking excessive colon cleanses or enemas and how that's disruptive to the, you know, microbiota that's in our GI tract because it's done excessively or too early in life. And then that really changes the way the gut microbes communicate with the nervous system. And even though we still don't have the science to know exactly what these early gut microbial changes have led to symptoms of, you know, maybe constipation or depression, we know that there definitely needs to be a normal development of a healthy gut microbiome so we don't put our children and ourselves at risk of developing psychiatric symptoms. People are not aware that a lot of these psychiatric symptoms that are diagnosed today and treated with drugs really stem from the early upset of the microbiome by practices that we deem as healthy but are not as healthy. In fact, even the so-called colon cleansing that goes on in some instances on a monthly basis can be just as damaging as being on a fast food diet. I'm not saying that you should never have a colonic, but it's not something that's really necessary if you are eating the proper diet, digesting properly, having the proper probiotic supplementation and have exercise. Your body is really designed to handle the removal of waste to normal elimination. And if you're eliminating and your transit time is normal so that it facilitates proper absorption of food and proper elimination, all of these things that we think about, detox, have to be reevaluated and used in a more, what I call, a judicious way.
Well, you know, there was a time, you know, we go back far enough when the only time we ever thought about the idea of a probiotic of any kind was due to a use of a wide spectrum antibiotic. And, you know, and that pretty much was the mentality that people kind of ran with. And today it's just living in general and the things we're exposed to, the things we do, the things we shouldn't do, the things we're adding, the things that we're missing. All of these are directly related to probiotics. And the issue should be really on the tip of the tongue for everybody that is trying to, you know, maintain or regain their health.
Absolutely. You know, first of all, I want to say that I'm giving this information to wake people up, not to incriminate any philosophy or whatever. But I think we're at the time we have to reevaluate everything. We're in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. The consumption of a liquid acidophilus product was considered, you know, good adjunct just to fortify our good bacteria. We had no knowledge of the complexity of the microbiota and why people in certain countries that ate a certain diet and lived a certain lifestyle and consumed fermented foods on a daily basis lived a long life and were healthy. That's what we tried to emulate in our country by taking segments of that, freezing it, and then amplifying it and think that we've done the good thing. No, it has to be a one-to-one relationship. And, you know, when I introduced the concept of concentrated probiotics to be consumed by everyone, it was not that, you know, to create a market of what I call probiotic junk food, and so that people feel good about eating junk food because it may contain some probiotics that may do in some benefit. I think that's what I call juvenile behavior, and I think we all have to get mature and think about the choices we make in selecting our probiotic products, which I will go through in our next segment, and, you know, learn the probiotic labeling standards. They're very simple to follow. It doesn't take, you know, rocket science to understand them. And if we just start applying those simple principles in choosing our probiotic products, then we can, you know, choose the diet that's right for us. And even if you're just on the treadmill for 20 to 30 minutes a day, as I am, that's an improvement in your health picture, and you will gain health benefits. So that's what I want to, you know, discuss in more detail in our next segment. But, you know, before we finish this segment, I want to tell the listeners that you are responsible for getting the right information. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of blogs that talk about body cleansing, that talk about tissue cleansing, that talk about, you know, probiotics, that talk about candida. But in my humble opinion, after spending 45 years in this industry, a lot of that is what I call very simple, and it doesn't really give you the whole picture because it's designed to sell you a program or a product. And I'm sorry to be so blunt, but we have to get beyond that. We have to start looking at it from a very scientific perspective and, you know, listen and apply some standards to what we're, you know, using a diet or a probiotic supplement to change our life.
I think that that's just good information. And I think that, you know, I talk about it all the time, and I know you do as well. We live in an information world, but we have to decide which parts of that information to tap and to tune into and to respond to and to take the good information and be able to apply it. It's very confusing, though, Natasha. There's some misinformation out there, and being able to find some of the good information can be dramatically life-changing.
Right. And I, you know, if you go to natrin.com, we list the probiotic labeling standard. We give you a free low-carbohydrate diet developed by a doctor that I've known for at least 20 years. And we give you a simple exercise program that's free to you. This is not a commercial pitch. Those of you who know me for 45 years, I have not changed my information. I have always presented what I felt was honest information. And that's really the only way to transform people's lives is that you provide an honest product, an honest service, and you really want to empower people with the right information.
We do live in an information world, and getting the information, like Natasha said, is very, very important. We have to remember that the intricate workings of our body is all connected, and you may be surprised to find out how much of your health or how much ill health you have is directly related to your gut. So we have to eat the right diet, we need to choose quality probiotics, and we need to make sure that we're doing something that moves our body in a healthy direction. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information on this show and to download my on-demand podcast segments, visit my show page at radiomd.com. I thank you for tuning in. Be well.